In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the Greek world in ancient times, people would sometimes break an object, like maybe some sort of an ornament, maybe even a bone, and one person would keep one half and the other person would keep the other. They might do this, for example, if one person was entrusting something to the other person. This way, if it took many years for them to come back, or if something happened to one person or the other, that one broken piece joined to the other piece would prove their identity. And in Greek, that was called a symbolon, which is where we get the word symbol. And you might have noticed that often the Nicene Creed is referred to as the symbol of faith, and that's where that word comes from. In the case of the creed, what it means is that by confessing that creed, you're proving who you are, and you're also testifying to the faith that you hold. Today, we celebrate the memory of the fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council. There are three Sundays in the year that are dedicated to the memory of the fathers of the seven ecumenical councils. The sixth Sunday after Pascha. Also, there's a Sunday in July, and there's this Sunday. And you could also add to that the first Sunday of Lent, which technically is commemoration of the triumph of Orthodoxy, which happened at a council after the Seventh Ecumenical Council. It was a council that upheld the Seventh Ecumenical Council. So throughout the year, the Church is reminding us about the importance of the ecumenical councils. And one of the most important things that came out of the ecumenical councils was the creed. In the first ecumenical council, most of the creed was composed. In the second ecumenical council, the final part of it was completed, and all the subsequent councils have confirmed and defended that faith. It's something that when you come into the church, if you come into the church as an adult, you recite this three times when you're made a catechumen. It's something that people in the early church were expected to memorize, and really everyone today should also have it memorized. In our prayers, we're supposed to say it daily. We also say it at every liturgy. And the creed begins with the word pistevo, I believe is how you pronounce it in Greek, which we translate into English as I believe. In Latin, it's translated as credo, which is where we get the word creed. The original composition of the creed said we believe, because the fathers were testifying that this is the faith of the church. But when we recite the creed, we say I believe. And both aspects of this confession are important, because it's important that we share a common faith. That's the only way that we could have the kind of unity that Christ talked about in the Gospels. But it's also important that we affirm our own faith in that creed. What does it mean to believe in God, and why is it so important? Well, for one thing, it means more than just having correct opinions. In the Epistle of St. James, he says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble." So if having faith or believing was just simply a matter of having the right opinions about things, and the devil would have been the greatest theologian in the universe. But of course, it's important that we have the right content as well, but that content has to be joined to an abiding commitment to the object of that faith. We also can't accomplish anything without faith. When we get up in the morning and we go to work, we're going to work with the faith that we're going to get paid when payday comes. We also have faith that when we cash that check, that money is going to be worth something when we go to the store. When we get into our car, we have faith that the car is going to start. And when we drive down the street, we have faith that other people are going to drive safely. But of course, any one of those things could turn out not to be true. But we have to operate on faith, or we wouldn't be able to do anything. We wouldn't be able to accomplish anything. But our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. If you have a brand new car and you believe it's going to start, then you've got a pretty reliable object of your faith. If you've got a beat up car that's on its last legs, then the object of that faith is maybe not so good. But when we have faith in God, we have an absolutely reliable object of our faith. And we're told by the prophet Isaiah that he that believeth on him shall by no means be ashamed. The prophet Isaiah also tells us that we can't understand without faith. He says, "If you do not believe, neither will you at all understand." And even atheistic scientists couldn't know anything without faith, because when they do a test, they believe, that the laws of physics and the empirical data that they see is going to be something that could be repeated, that the laws of nature are not suddenly going to change on them. Also, we cannot please God without faith. In the book of Hebrews it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So it's not just a matter of checking a box and saying, "I believe and I affirm these things," but having faith is a prerequisite to having a right relationship with God. We can't really know God, we can't really love God if we don't believe that he is and put our trust in him. And that's why true faith is a condition for our salvation. We all know the famous verse, John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And St. Paul in the Epistle to the Romans also says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But we're also told in Scripture that true faith is a faith that has to be put into action. In the Epistle to St. James, we're told, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." When we say that we believe in all that follows in the creed, we confess it with our mouths, but we also have to believe it in our hearts. And this can only be true of those who live the life of faith and obedience. If I say I believe with my mouth, I must also say I believe every day of my life by the way that I live my life. Amen.